We continue our series on heaven, and as I told you a few weeks ago, that what I'll do each week is bring a message on something that you may want to learn about or know about regarding heaven, and then prior to that, answer a question that is frequently asked. Short answer. So today the question that I want to answer is, will our pets be in heaven? That's a real deep theological concept, isn't it? Now, I know when I say that, there are some of you in the room that hope they are, and some of you in the room that hope they aren't. And you will not be disappointed in heaven, because there is no disappointment in heaven, but you'll be disappointed here thinking about it. I think it would be interesting if some of the pets make it and the owners don't. So I would be more concerned about getting myself there than getting my pets there. It might be more relevant to say, rather than will our pets be in heaven, will there be animals in heaven? And I really wish that the Bible said more about this. Now, the dog that is killing my boxwood that's in our neighborhood is not going. But when you look at Scripture, and I want to give you some of the scriptural answers, when you look at Scripture, there are places where God saved the animals and that he had them involved in a covenant, like with Noah. And so there are places where God does that, but I don't see anything in the Scripture that talks about animals being in the intermediate heaven, final heaven. If they're going to be there, they will not be there because of John 3:16. I know that. They will not be there because they have accepted Jesus as Savior. They'll be there for some other reason. But I want us to realize that you and I are created in the image of God, and they're not. And you and I are moral agents, and they're not. We're different. And I really don't see a place in the Scripture where they're included in the intermediate heaven. But when you get to the final heaven, when there is a new heaven and a new earth created by God, will they be there? If you take the passage like in Isaiah 11, if you don't take it just metaphorically where the lion and the yearling and the wolf and the lamb are together, if you see that as literal, then there will be animals on the new earth. Whether there will be animals that come from the old creation, I don't know, but will there be animals in the new creation? Well, could be, because wherever you see the description of the eternal heaven, it has Edenic-like qualities. And so there could be animals in the new creation. I think what we need to do, though, when we approach this question, is not do it out of sentimentality, but do it based upon the Word of God. And I wish the Word of God said more, but that's sort of a summary of what I see in the Scripture about animals or pets being in heaven. Now, today, our topic to discuss is rewards in heaven. A very interesting topic. And I want to begin this way. The thief on the cross put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. He was encountered by the Lord on the road to Damascus. And then he said something over in Philippians 1. He said, "I wish I could depart and be with Christ, for that would be far better." I believe both of those men are in the intermediate heaven, and I think you would agree. The thief is there, and the Apostle Paul is also there. What is the difference? Here's the question. What is the difference between the thief's experience of heaven, intermediate and final, from the Apostle Paul's? Is there a difference that is experienced, and if there is a difference, does the difference diminish the experience of the thief at all? Any of his blessing, any of his joy, is it diminished in any way? That's the question. And I think when you begin to ask those questions, you begin to deal with the concept and the matter of rewards. All of us will agree that both of them are there because of the grace of God. That's the common base. That's the similarity. But consider the differences. Consider the differences. The thief accepted Jesus prior to delirium and death. Paul accepted the Lord on the road to Damascus and served him for many, many years. The thief never served the Lord a day in his life. The thief never persevered in persecution. The thief never suffered for Jesus' sake. The thief never walked faithfully and righteously with the Lord, and the thief on the cross did not die a martyr's death, and the Apostle Paul did all of those things. Personally, it would seem very odd to me that when we get to heaven, it's going to be identical for the thief on the cross and for the Apostle Paul. So having said that, what do you do with that? How do you answer that? How do you say that Paul has an experience different than the thief on the cross, and yet the thief on the cross experience is not diminished in any way in his joy and in his blessing? Well, I want to deal with that a little bit today and see if I can help explain it, and I don't know if I can or not. I want us to know this, though. Rewards are a biblical teaching. Understand that rewards in heaven is a biblical teaching. The Bible says that we can receive rewards, we may not receive rewards, and we can forfeit rewards. Receive them, not receive them, forfeit them. The Bible speaks to all of those three things. And the idea of rewards is God's. It's not ours, it's God's idea. I didn't say it, I didn't bring it up, I didn't ask for them. God brings them up, God talks about them. And I want you to understand this. God saves us. God redeems us because of Christ's work. God rewards us because of our work. You got it straight? Don't mix the two. God saves us because of Christ's work, and God rewards us because of our work. Your salvation is not affected by anything that you do. It is not because of your works. It is not because of anything that you perform. It is by the grace of God, but it does affect rewards. And I think there's an interesting combination of grace and works in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Now, many of you know that passage of Scripture, and you've read that passage of Scripture many times, but listen to it. I want you to listen to it. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works. Why? Because no one is going to be able to boast about what he's done to be saved. But now notice this. For we are God's workmanship. Having been saved, having been redeemed, you and I are now God's workmanship. And we have been created for a purpose. And that purpose is to do good works. We have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, and that has something to do with reward. It is tied to reward, and the rewards come from God. And so that you will understand that, I want us to read several verses indicating that. Over in Matthew chapter 5, and looking at verses 11 and 12, it says this. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because, notice this, great is your reward in heaven. Who said that? Jesus said that when he preached his great Sermon on the Mount. Over in Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 42. And there it says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, here it comes. He will certainly not lose his reward. And then over in Matthew chapter 16, and there you look at verse 27. It says this, for the Son of Man is going to come, and he's going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. Notice, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. If you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there where the passage speaks about doing things that have significance spiritually. And it's pictured this way. It is represented by those things that are valuable here. It is the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. When you do things, when your work involves that which has spiritual significance, and it is not consumed, the wood, hay, and stubble, the Bible says that what you, if you build what is going to survive, you will receive your reward. And then Revelation, the last verse I want to give you is in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, and it says this: Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. So here's what the Bible teaches about rewards. They exist. They're based upon what we do, and the Lord will assign them. The Lord will give them. The Lord will allot them sometime in regard to his consummation, the consummation of history and the coming of the Lord. That's what's going to happen. Now, when we look at the concept of reward in Scripture, I think it says three things to us. At least it says three things to me. One is this: what we do here matters. Now, you've heard me say that repeatedly. You've heard Clay Barnes say that. You've heard Rob Kelly say that. I've read and I've heard for many years, you know, you can be so heavenly minded, you're earthly no good. I've never met a person like that in all of my life. Because what we do here matters, and what we do here is significant. Someone sent me a quote this week on heaven that C.S. Lewis said, and he said, Christians and their contribution, when they make a contribution here on earth, it is precisely because they're thinking about heaven. The more you think about heaven, the more your impact here. And I want you to know, and I want to say it very strongly, what we do here matters. How we live here matters. The work that we do here matters. It counts. The second thing, and I think this is obvious, but it needs to be said, is that there is a connection. When you deal with rewards, there's obviously a connection between earth and heaven. Meaning that when I get to heaven, I will still have my identity. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am Wayne here, I will be Wayne there. I will be transformed, I will be resurrected for the eternal heaven, but there will be a continuity, there will be an identity between here and there. And if not, the concept of judgment and the concept of reward doesn't make any sense. What are you going to do? Get to heaven and something happens and you say to the Lord, that's not my record. I didn't do that. No, the Bible says that our deeds follow us. Jesus was resurrected from the tomb. He was resurrected from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples. And one of them missing on one of the occasions was Thomas. And Thomas was thinking, you know, I don't know if you guys really saw him or not. And so one day Jesus appeared to Thomas. You know what he said? My Lord and my God. It's Jesus. There's identity. There's connection. And I will have connection between earth and heaven, and I am going to receive something regarding how I lived here and what I did here. Our deeds follow us. The third thing I want to say is this. God is aware of everything that you do and I do, so that when it comes to the matter of reward, it will be absolutely accurate. Even things that I don't know about you and you don't know about me. Folks, even things that you don't even know about yourself. You remember the passage in Matthew 25 where the person said, Lord, when did we ever see you naked? And we clothed you. When did we ever see you hungry and we fed you? We don't remember that. He does. He's going to remember everything that is warranting reward. He will know every act. He will know every prayer. He will know every word. He will know every motive. And he alone is the one that can give reward and give it justly. That's what the concept of reward says to us when we see it in Scripture. Now, here's the tricky part. What are the rewards? What are they like? How do we describe them? How do we appreciate them? And I want to tell you that the Bible names some rewards, and I'll give you some in a minute. And the Bible talks about rewards and talks about rewards coming to us. But the Bible really does not describe what the rewards are. And if you're looking for answers with commentators, I'll save you some time. You're not going to find answers there, because they really do not deal with it. And I've looked, and I don't see a lot written on the issue of rewards in heaven, nor what I'm going to preach about next Sunday, ruling in the eternal heaven. But I want to give it a shot. And I want to say this as we begin in that explanation. I think rewards in heaven involve two things, and I'll try to explain both of them. One of them is the glory of God. It is tied up with and it involves the glory of God. And the second thing, it has something to do, it's got to have something to do with my capacity for joy and blessing. It has something to do about me. It has something to do about you. If you're going to receive a reward, it has something to do with you personally. What is that? But first of all, the glory of God. What is your purpose of being here? What is my purpose of being here? Why was I created? Why was I saved? It is all for the glory of God. What does it mean to glorify God? It means to make much of Him. In fact, the word glory means heavy. In Hebrew, it means heavy. And it is the asset that makes somebody important and significant. And when I glorify something or someone, I point to them, and I point out what makes them important and what makes them significant. I point out their heaviness. I make much of them. And that's what you find in Scripture. When the Bible says that creation glorifies God, creation makes much of Him. Creation points out that the assets that make Him significant and important. He is the God who can do this. And when you and I repent of our sin, when you and I accept Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord, when you and I walk according to His dictates, we make much of Him. And what we do, we point out the fact that He is a God of love. He is incredibly loving. He is a God of sacrifice, and He died for us. And He's a God that enables us. He recreated us, and He enables us to live according to how His Son lived. And we make much of Him. We lift Him up. We point out His heaviness. It's all about glorifying God. And thus, when you get to some places in Scripture, even point out the rewards according to that which glorified God. For instance, if you and I live through and in the midst of persecution, the Bible says that you're going to receive the crown of life. If you walk faithfully and if you walk with victory, you'll receive the crown that is incorruptible. If you are faithful in your role of leadership, you will receive the crown of glory. And if you purify yourself and you ready yourself for the coming of the Lord, coming of His second coming, the Bible says that you'll receive the crown of righteousness. All having to do with the glory of God. You've glorified God. You've glorified God, and reward is tied to glorifying God. And what will you do with the rewards when you get them? What if you got the crown of righteousness? What if you got the crown of life? What are you going to do with it? Eat it? You going to wear it? You going to strut it around heaven? No. Bible says you will lay it at His feet and you will give Him glory, because rewards have everything to do with the glory of God. When you read in the passage in Revelation chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11 about the 24 elders, it gives us that indication, and it says, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him. They worship Him who lives forever and ever. And that, what do? They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you're the one worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. It is for your glory. It is glorifying God that brings rewards, and the rewards that you get will be laid at His feet to glorify Him. Rewards have to do with the glory of God. But folks, secondly, if it's a reward, is there something there where you and I, in some way, personally benefit? Is there some capacity that I have? Is there some experience of joy and blessing in heaven that comes to me because God has given me a reward? I think the answer is yes. Let me explain it in three ways. When we get to heaven, there will be no seeing through as a glass darkly. We will know everything. I believe when you're in heaven and you receive the reward of God, you're going to know everything you did that glorified Him. I think you're going to have that personal knowledge, that enrichment of knowledge. I think when you see people in heaven, you're going to know everything that you did that had any impact on them being there. I think you're going to know if you gave an offering over here and a mother came to Christ and great-grandson down the road is there and he's there because you made an investment. I think you're going to know all of the ins and outs and all of the reasons and all of the whys, and you're going to walk down the streets of heaven and you're going to be blessed if you have invested in Him, if you have glorified Him. I think you're going to know it. And secondly, the Bible says that there is going to be commendation from the Lord. You know, we already have the statement in Scripture that says, well done, good and faithful servant. I'll tell you this. If we get to heaven because we have glorified Him here and we've done things that have glorified Him here, and He says something like that to me, if He says, well done, that one word, those two words, is going to wipe out every grief that I have ever experienced in His name. It will be worth it. And the Bible teaches that. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, therefore judge nothing before the time. You can't do it before the time. You got to wait until the Lord comes, and He will bring to light everything. And the Bible teaches that He is going to make commendation. He is going to state it. And I don't know if He does it publicly. I don't know if He does it privately. I don't know about that. I know this. If He says it publicly, and He says it to you and says it to you and someone else and somebody else that did not have that commendation hears it, they're not going to be envious and they're not going to be resentful, because the whole point of heaven is to glorify God, and they're going to rejoice in what you did that glorified Him. Third thing, let me explain it this way. To me, there has to be a difference between the thief and Paul the apostle in their capacity and in something that they experienced in heaven because of the way they lived their lives and the way they invested in the glory of God. And I'll explain it this way. Last Sunday, we were led in worship by some of the next generation. And I say led in worship because they were not just up here and they were not just singing. They led us in worship. And I was amazed at what they did. And I've talked to a number of you, and so were you. You were blessed by that. You were blessed in what you saw. And so we sat in this room and we worshiped God, and they led us in worship, and we saw the genuineness of their lives, and we were blessed and we were filled with joy. But I watched in every service, and I think in every service, the parents of those children were there every hour. I'm going to tell you something. The parents and the people that had invested in them experienced something a little differently than you did and I did. And you know what I'm talking about. Mom and dad did not need a pat on the back. That's not what rewards are about. Jesus saying, good job, buddy. It's not about a pat on the back. It's about feeling something. I guarantee you they felt something differently than you and I felt, and not a one of us in this room, not a one of us in this room, because they experienced that, had any of our joy or blessing diminished. Do you get it? But they experienced something that I didn't and you didn't, for the very fact of what they had invested. Somehow, I think that's what touches reward in heaven. It's going to make a difference. And I'll tell you one thing, when you start thinking about rewards in heaven, don't waste your life here. Live it for the glory of God, because it makes a difference. And it's not going to be that you start working on your rewards when you get to heaven. Rewards are all about right now. And right here, it's based on that. And so it's not a matter of wood, hay, and stubble, folks. It's a matter of gold, silver, and precious stones. Lord, I want to live to glorify you, and whatever reward means, I want it because I adore you, and I want to experience all that you have for me to have. And whatever that is, it's not going to diminish anything of anybody else's, but it's going to be an enrichment of my life because I invested it the way he wanted me to. Don't you want rewards to put at his feet? Don't you want to live for his glory now? Because you're going to live for his glory the rest of your life. Let's live for it now. Let's pray. Father, you're good, you're loving, you're saving, and we give you praise and glory. And we want our lives to glorify you, and we want to glorify you for all of eternity. I pray right now that whatever rewards mean, whatever concept it is, we want them not because we want a pat on the back. We want them because it's tied to glorifying you. We want to love you and we want to glorify you and we want to live fully for you. And whatever it means in heaven, we know we're going to experience the joy and the blessing there fully because we're going to understand grace completely. But I pray, Father, for us, because of the way we live, there's going to be that sweet something that's ours. As we know what glory came to you because of what your commendation is and because of that capacity that is ours because of our investment. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you, a person who repents of his sin and accepts Jesus as Savior makes much of God and glorifies him because you indicate how loving and how saving he is. Living your life to his glory, you point to his importance and significance. You glorify him. Would you do that right now as we stand in a minute and sing together? I'm going to sing a couple of verses, and then I'll invite the deacons to come so we can have the Lord's Supper served. But if you have a decision to make today because the potter has worked on the clay, you need to share it with me. Come and share it with me. You can share it with a counselor. You can go down the hall after the service and speak with someone in the next step room. But do what God has led you to do and give him glory. Would you stand with me? Let's sing for a few moments and then we'll move into the Lord's Supper as we conclude.